Good morning, everyone. Hope you can all hear me adequately. If not, just put your hand in the air, say, speak louder or something. As was announced, my topic this morning is in the theme of the gathering, God Manifestation. We'll be looking at the topic of his nation, Israel. So, Brother Lee this morning took us in a bit on looking at the names of deity, and it fits in well here with what we'll be going over today. I thought we'd take a look at the word manifestation, where it appears in the Bible, and just to start things off. So there's a couple different Greek words used for manifestation. The first one we'll look at here is apokalypsis. It's the Greek 602. And it is described as disclosure, appearing, coming, lighten, and be revealed. It also comes from the base word of apokalypto, which is the word right before it in the Greek dictionary, and that means to take off the cover. So as we can see, it's a making known, as we heard this morning, of revealing things that were once hid. The other word that's used is phanerosis, which we've heard of, and that word means exhibition, expression, or bestowment. And it's from the base word of phaneru, which means to render apparent, appear, manifest, declare, and show. Apokalypsis is used 18 times and has been rendered a few different ways. Lighten, revelation or revelations, manifestation, coming, revealed, or appearing. So when you see those words, there's a chance that the original word to that is apokalypsis. And phanerosis is only used 2 times and is rendered manifestation in both cases. So one may ask where we're going to take our talk today, the nation Israel. It's a big topic. And there's many different types of manifestations related to the nation of Israel. As we heard this morning, in the use of his names of deity, there's visible appearances of God manifestation, where angels are speaking to God's people, which we'll hear about later. Divine appearances of speech and utterances that were heard. There's many miracles and wonders and signs. There's also a different type of manifestation. That's symbolic appearances, types and prophecies. So in the Old Testament events, that point forward to Christ is an example of some of those. Melchizedek, where Abraham offers Isaac, the fiery serpent on the pole, and many others. We know Joseph and Joshua and their types of Christ. There's going to in-depth studies on the tabernacle or the temple or the reestablishment of the temple. Also, many different types in the judges and lots on King David and King Solomon and how they are types of the future time. We can look at prophecies. The major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, also much to be found in Zechariah. So all of these encompass God manifestation through his nation Israel. So where will we go today? What are we going to review today? Well, I'll give you a summary of what we'll focus on. We'll look at Abraham's sons. We'll look at Moses in a few different ways, how he was a type of Christ. We'll look at the event of the burning bush. We'll look at how all Israel were baptized into Moses. We'll look at the manna. We'll look at the rocks that gave to drink. And then we'll also spend a little bit of time looking at modern Israel, where they are today, and events that have transpired since some of us have been born. And then we'll summarize with how it is an education or lessons for us. So, first topic, Abraham's sons. As we know, Abram was married to Sarai, who was barren. Genesis 11:30 says, but Sarai was barren, and she had no child. I'm sure we're all familiar with the story. Hagar, who was Sarah's handmaid, or maid, upon Sarah's request, had a child by Abram, who was called Ishmael. Hagar was a concubine and was a servant to Sarai. Ishmael was born to Abram as the bondwoman's son. 13 years later, an angel appeared to Abram and renamed Abram and Sarai to Abraham and Sarah. That's taken in Genesis 17. We'll quickly go over that. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Shall her name be. And I will bless her, and I will give thee a son also of her. And I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 99 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. You can see here Abraham had a momentary lapse of weakness. And God said, shall Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. So what does this mean? What does this speak that the angel had with Abraham mean? And how is this a manifestation? Well, the fact that Abraham had a son from a bondwoman and a son from a free woman was a foreshadow of the difference between natural Israel and spiritual Israel. If we look at what Paul writes in Galatians 4, it says, for it is written that Abraham had 2 sons, the one by the bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the 2 covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which rendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and she answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So we see here the situation of Ishmael and Isaac, both being Abraham's sons, was a foreshadow of the difference between God's children. Those that were born after the flesh, the bond, the state that we're born into, and those born by promise, or free. We enter into the covenant through baptism and remain in the covenant through our life, being dedicated to being in Christ. Or we can choose to remain children of the flesh and do not take the opportunity to be a part of God's promise, but remain dying in our state of corrupt mortality. If we look at 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us a bit about this process of going from natural to spiritual. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. But as we have been born the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So we see here in this that it's a process that we move through. We can also see that it's also talking about how the time of the records in the Old Testament times are a type pointing forward to things to come, whether that be in Christ or his coming kingdom. Let's move forward in time a bit. We'll look at Moses. First, we'll look at how he was a type of Christ. We know that through Moses, there were many signs and wonders. We think of the plagues. We think of the many things that were in the wilderness. Lots to tell us that he was a man of signs. He also came by water. Exodus 2, verse 10, when Pharaoh's daughter, and she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. We know he is a prophet like Christ. Deuteronomy 18 tells us this in verses 17 to 19. And the Lord said unto me, that's to Moses, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So here he's being compared to the future prophet, to Christ. We also know that Moses was a shepherd. As Brother Jim read out this morning, Moses was keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Let's look at that, verse 1 of Exodus 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. If we look, it's thought that Horeb is Sinai. We also know that he was a shepherd in a different way, that he led the children of Israel to the land of promise, up to the edge of it. And he was a shepherd of the children of Israel. Let's look now at another aspect of Moses, and it's found in the immediate passage following that Exodus 3, verse 1, where the record of the burning bush was, which we read this morning. Just quickly again, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. So this occurred at Sinai, which we know was holy ground for the future events and events yet to come. Moses saw the illumination of the bush being like on fire, and it was noted that there was an appearance of an angel. Definitely something that caught his attention was not normal. This appearance called Moses to action to collect the children of Israel who were in amongst Egypt, who we know as the world, and led them through the wilderness to the entering into the promised land. This whole process makes us think of many things, how it's a type pointing forward. We know that it put down the Egypt. And we know that Christ in the future will put down the kingdoms of men. There's a gathering of Israel from being scattered. That's what Moses did in Egypt. We know that is what's currently happening and will continue to happen in the future. Another point, Moses, or from Moses, all Israel was baptized into Moses. And Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 10, 1-5. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all your fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. So these events that we know in the time of Moses foreshadowed baptism, as Paul identifies, through the cloud. An interesting point was right before they crossed the sea, an angel moved the cloud to the back end of the congregation to protect them from the Egyptians. So the cloud was a help and a barrier from evil. That's in Exodus 14. An angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it became between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was like a cloud and darkness to them. And it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. So it was protection to Israel. And we also know that the passing through the sea was a symbol of baptism. They had a choice. They could either choose to follow Moses and choose life through their faith, knowing that God would protect them as they crossed the sea, or they could remain and receive certain death as the Egyptians soon followed them. Let's talk a little bit about the manna, the bread from heaven. Exodus 16:11-12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, and saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. A couple verses later. And he went, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small thing, a small round thing, as small as hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. So God did this to show them that he was with them. They had this manna to eat as they journeyed through the wilderness. And this continued on until they'd entered the land, until the first Passover feast. Joshua 5, verses 10-12 says, And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, at even, in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes, and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after that they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. You know, there's a reason why this was mentioned, why it was after they'd entered the land. The children of Israel did not recognize the bread, the manna, for they wist not what it was. What does that make us think of? Christ was not recognized by the Jewish leaders. They did not know who he was truly. The manna provided life to the natural Jews during their time of probation in the wilderness. As we know, Christ is the only way to life, and he is the bread of life to the spiritual Jews during this time of probation. The children of Israel ate the manna until the day of the first Passover after their entering the promised land. And we know that Christ's servants will eat and drink with Christ after he establishes his kingdom in the promised land at the marriage feast. So many, many things that makes us think of. The next point. The rock gave to drink. There were two locations where rocks gave water to drink. The first in Rephidim, or was noted in Horeb, Exodus 17, verse 6, "Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." Note here that Moses was commanded to smite the rock. The second was at Kadesh, Numbers 20, verses 10 to 11. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thy rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink." Please note here that Moses was commanded to speak to the rock. If we look at Numbers 33, it's a record of the wandering of the children of Israel through the wilderness. And we can see in this record that the Rephidim incident was near the start of their travels, while the Kadesh incident was much later in their travels, near the end of their journeys. We also know from the record from Paul that he says that Christ is the rock. He's the chief cornerstone. The first incident where Moses strikes a rock reminds us of Christ's first physical appearance, which resulted in his scourging and his crucifixion. The second incident where Moses was not to strike the rock just prior to entering the promised land reminds us of Christ's return. Who is this that comes from Edom? We know that Christ will not be tormented here or punished here. And if Moses would have followed orders, the rock wouldn't have been struck. So we can see in the manna and in the rock that gave forth water to drink that they are pointing forward to Christ, like how the bread and wine also remind us of Christ. So this is the summary of Moses. His types of Christ, the burning bush, his baptism, the manna and the rocks that provided drink, all show Yahweh's guiding hand in the development of his nation Israel. The time of Moses, like many other Old Testament times, give us an abundance of examples of God manifestation, both in physical appearances of angels, signs, and miracles, and also through types and foreshadowing of future events. We can relate to Israel's failings when they were not confident in God's presence. We hear that often in our readings of their travels. We can take comfort in God's willingness to work with them. He was constantly working with them. We can take comfort in seeing that His presence is continual, even when we are not aware or awake. We know Israel, even when Moses was up in the mount, fell weak and made themselves a calf. We also know, at least I know in my life, and I'm sure most can relate, there's times in our lives when we know we can see the signs around, we know God's hand is controlling the world, but yet we go through times of weakness and don't stay as strong as we need to be. Let's move forward in time, much, much forward, to the current times, and look at Israel. There's much prophecy about Israel being restored. Deuteronomy 30, 1-5. "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, that thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. And if any of thine be driven out unto the uppermost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. Also in the Song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32, verse 43, Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. They'll be together, the land and the people. Move forward to Jeremiah 31, verses 5 to 12. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria, and the planters shall plant, and shall eat them as common things, for there shall be a day that the watchmen upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye and go, let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, Sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together, a great company, and shall return thither. And they shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them, and I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattereth Israel will gather him, and keep him, as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Still more. Ezekiel also speaks of Israel being brought together, as we've recently read. In chapter 20, verses 32 to 36, As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out, I will rule over you, and I will bring you out from the people. I will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered, with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. As we know, I guess it's over 50 years ago, 60 years ago, if I do my math here, the Israeli state was established, May 14th, 1948. The way for that was paved by the British government, who had taken the land from Palestine away from the Ottomans and identified their desire to establish a national homeland for the Jewish people through the Balfour Declaration. And that declaration was dated November 2nd, 1917. The next step in the United Nations brought this matter to a head in 1947, known as Resolution 181. Where the establishment of an Israeli state was created through a UN vote, with 33 in favor and 13 against. There was 10 abstinences as well. So it was passed, and the Israeli state was born, reborn. Israel gained additional land in the Six-Day War, fought June 5th to 10th, 1967. Again, I'm sure many of you remember. At the end of this conquest, Israel had taken the Gaza Strip and the Sinai Peninsula from Egypt. They'd taken the West Bank and East Jerusalem from Jordan. And they'd also taken the Golan Heights from Syria. Soon after, Israel decided to return some of the land it had taken in return for peace agreements. Through this, we can see that Yahweh is still with his people, though they do not trust his presence and his plan for restoration, as we sung in the hymn this morning. The governments are taking matters into their own hands. They're saying they're going to do it their way, not God's way. So we know that will change. So we'll summarize here with some words of exhortation, what the lessons are for us. We can see that God's manifestation is present from in the beginning until he is all and in all. This God manifestation are examples of them, are faith building. They are evidence of his presence in the past and in the present today. It gives us faith and confidence and confident hope of his guiding hand in the upcoming future events which have been prophesied. We can see that God manifestation is a sign of Yahweh's love to his servants in revealing an aspect of himself which provides us confidence, faith, and commitment. As we know, the nation of Israel has failed Yahweh in many ways. Though we may ridicule Israel as we read about their failings, we can also think that we are often faced with similar trials, maybe under a different set of circumstances. It's pretty easy to ridicule them, but yet ourselves in a similar way may be failing God. Israel seemed to have continual signs and wonders, which should have built their faith. We have been given all of Scripture. The mystery of the gospel has been revealed. With all of its prophecies, we have continual signs and wonders that appear in our lives here today. Does it build up our faith? Are we prepared against a day of weakness and temptation? It is a constant battle. We can see Yahweh's work is present even here today. As we see the signs of the times, how prophecies are being fulfilled, the alignment of the nations, there's much to build up our faith that God is manifesting himself through his fulfillment of prophecies. So thank you for your time.